The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Boy, there's some more examples that make you wonder if the world has totally lost its mind.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's broadcast, Michael Brown. As always, delighted to have this great opportunity with you. By the way, this is a special week in the Brown household. Yeah, I turned 68 on Thursday, but the bigger event to me, the amazing, wonderful event, is 47 years of marriage to my wonderful bride, Nancy. That is on Tuesday, so that's tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Getting ready for the great celebration. That quiet but special family time. Anyway, I'm just excited about the week and excited about 47 years of marriage and excited to be full of health and vigor and vision. 68, feeling like a kid, just ready to get going. So welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to open the phones to any question on any subject that you want to talk to me about a little later in the broadcast, because I got a lot of ground I want to cover with you first. 866-348-7884. As I was praying yesterday afternoon about which way to go in terms of writing and should I write a new article on a subject, I don't just do it automatically. I was thinking about a number of things that I've read recently that just make you scratch your head and say, is the world that crazy? Are people that much off track in terms of reality, in terms of what they think is right and wrong? And I've made a pledge to you. I've said it before. Let me say it again. I won't get your blood boiling unless I also get your faith rising. In other words, I'm going to say some things and you may get upset or agitated, but the goal is not to agitate you. The goal is to motivate you. The goal is to encourage you. The goal is to strengthen you. The goal is to stir so that your heart and mind will be awakened, and then we can pray, and then we can stand, and then we can do the right thing. We are here to infuse you with faith and truth and courage, not fear and not just controversy, but with faith and truth and courage. So I noticed this story been reported. Actor Rainn Wilson, I'm not familiar with his work, but there's a HBO series I know nothing about whatsoever, haven't seen it, don't know anything about it. And he happened to mention that the last episode has a Christian preacher reading from the Bible. So the moment you see someone on secular TV, preacher reading from the Bible, you have a pretty good idea. Cable TV, secular, you have a pretty good idea that it's not going to be favorable. It's not going to be one of these, oh, wonderful, oh, real example, or what a godly man, or what a godly woman, or wow, this is going to be a wholesome, edifying, encouraging story. You'll get that in Christian cinema, right? But not what you're going to expect from the world. So the guy ends up being some kind of terrorist. So he's a Bible-quoting terrorist. And Rainn Wilson tweeted this out. He said, I do think there is an anti-Christian bias in Hollywood. As soon as the David character in The Last of Us started reading from the Bible, I knew that he was going to be a horrific villain. Could there be a Bible-reading preacher on a show who's actually loving and kind? Friends, when I was doing research years back for the book A Queer Thing Happened to America, and started to go through various TV series, be it an emergency room series in a hospital, be it a Law and Order type series, be it some other show that was just generic in nature. In other words, not religious in nature, not dealing with controversial moral societal issues, but just dealing with life and death issues and crime issues and things like that. I was amazed to see, and how many of these shows, could be a show about the president or something like that, and how many of these shows there were certain narratives weaved in, anti-Christian narratives weaved in, pro-LGBTQ perspectives weaved in, and how consistently, if you had a Christian character of some prominence, the person was a hypocrite, the person was living a double life, the person was guilty of something or other, the person was hard-hearted and cruel, and the child that was very different, that was kind of the hero versus the parent who is this bigoted Christian person. I was amazed at how just talking points were weaved in. And you might say, well, The people that weave them in believe them. I understand. In other words, that's their point of view, and that's why they're speaking of the point of view. You know, the scriptures say that you're of the world, Jesus says, and therefore you speak of the world. So that's fully understandable. I'm not surprised that Hollywood is worldly and worldly people are putting out worldly movies and worldly TV shows. I'm just surprised sometimes by the degree that a clear agenda is weaved, woven right through the show with a clear message. And I remember as I was doing research for this, I think I was watching one time an episode of Law and Order, and it was dealing with, quote, conversion therapy and demonizing everything having to do with someone saying, hey, I'm not at home with my same-sex attraction. I want to change. And you had a Christian guy involved. And, of course, he ends up either murdering somebody or complicit in somebody. That's just horrific. But all the talking points weaved right in, well, it's 10% of the population. Well, no one can change. You're born that way. And I thought it's just amazing. So here, from a different angle, yeah, you see some preacher, and he says, yeah, I don't think it's going to be someone loving and kind. And then Daniel Garza tweeted in response to this. He said, defamation of Christianity has become the most unoriginal and tired cliches in movie, TV series storylines. Its prevalence is much more than a bias against an entire people. It is meant to undermine faith and position the secular-minded people as only ones with altruistic intentions. In other words, there really is an agenda to it. There really is an agenda that we just need to be aware of. We don't need to be surprised that that's the mindset. Again, it doesn't surprise me that worldly people do worldly things. It doesn't surprise me that fish swim. It doesn't surprise me that birds fly. It doesn't surprise me that sinners sin. It doesn't surprise me that people who don't believe in the God we believe in, don't believe in the scriptures we believe in, have different views and are often hostile to our views. It doesn't surprise me at all. It's just we need to be aware that people are being influenced in these ways. We need to keep that in mind. That their view of the Bible, their view of God, their view of the Christian faith is going to be very different than ours. And often people are heavily influenced by this over the years. You know, I'm going to talk about something pretty different, but it's related. All right? And then I'll get to this article that I wrote where I list a number of things that are going on, just some rulings that make you think, has the world lost its mind? But when President Trump was in office, obviously, he's a controversial enough figure in and of himself, right? He's definitely a controversial figure, and people loved him, people hated him. I fully get it, right? I voted for him, but I understood things that he did that really alienated people, and I wish he didn't say and do many of those things. All right, so that I understood, but I would interact with maybe an old friend, someone I went to school with as a kid, and this person is a liberal Democrat, a Jewish person, not a believer. What I forgot was that what they believed about Trump was not just the bad things that he said and did or the bad example he was in certain ways, but they believed every evil report about him. They believed the most horrific things that were being said about him that were total exaggerations. So I'm not denying he was controversial. Whether you voted for him or not, it's not the issue. But I had a process, like one guy just cut me off. He was an old friend. We were friends on Facebook. We'd be in touch every so often. But he just couldn't deal with me if I said anything positive about Trump. It wasn't just that he had a certain animus against Trump and an animus against his views and the views that I supported, he rejected. No, it wasn't just that. It was that he also believed that he was more evil and more diabolical and more sinister and more destructive because he was being bombarded by news reports, biased news reports to that effect. So we just have to remember, people are being indoctrinated. Now, we're all being indoctrinated whether we know it or not. Some of us are intentionally. In other words, I intentionally am immersing myself in the Word of God and biblical truth so as to get my heart and mind renewed according to the Word, according to the truth. I believe it's right, right? So I'm intentionally, in that sense, in a positive way, indoctrinating myself. If you're listening to the show, I'm trying to indoctrinate you in a positive way. But others are getting indoctrinated, and they don't even realize it. It doesn't come to mind at all because they just think, oh, I'm just getting some information. No, no, no. You're getting a lot of biased stuff presented in a lot of biased ways. Okay, let's get over to my article. And I'm going to start with a story that was reported on Breitbart. Jack Montgomery reported this. And the story announces, this is the headline of the story. Hang on, just got to pull this up in front of me. The headline of the story said this: women and, quote, non-binary people can go topless in Berlin pools, diversity ombudsman rules. So Jack Montgomery reported that women and non-binary people with breasts will be able to go topless at Berlin swimming pools after a ruling from the German capital's diversity ombudsman. So this is what Dr. Doris Liebscher said. She heads the city's ombudsman office. She hailed the change, saying, quote, "The ombudsman very much welcomes the decision of the bathing establishments because it creates equal rights for all Berliners, whether male or female or non-binary, and because it also creates legal certainty for the staff and the bathing establishments." Yeah, obviously there's no difference between a man's body and a woman's body, right? And if a man can go topless, why not a woman, right? Equality for all. Yes, my sarcasm there. And then this paragraph. You try to figure out what's going on here. And notice the gender pronouns. "The municipal government in the university city made the change in response to a complaint by a biologically male trans man who was banned from a pool for refusing to cover their breasts on the basis that they were a man and men did not need to cover their chests." So if I have this right, this is a biological male who now identifies as a female, but is being referenced here as a trans man, and who apparently has female breasts, who is protesting the fact that he, who now claims to be a she, must cover his chest. But since men do not have to cover their chest and he is really a man, at least for the sake of the court case, since he otherwise identifies as a woman, then he, even as a she, shouldn't have to cover his chest, their chest. Is that correct? You say, Dr. Brown, you're making fun of this individual. I hope this individual comes to find wholeness in the Lord and wholeness in the body in which this individual was created. That's my hope, my sincere prayer, my sincere desire. I wish no evil to this person. I wish them wholeness. But you do not turn reality upside down because of an individual's particular struggles. This is just the world losing its mind. If the church doesn't speak a clear word of sanity and clarity, who will?
What Trivita customers are saying.
Dr. Brown, I can't wait to tell you, man, those supplements are absolutely amazing. My strength has gone up at least 15 pounds in everything I do. I mean, I can curl, like I'll usually do curls with arms. You know, I'll do 40 to 45. I was doing 60-pound curls 10 times in each arm. And then yesterday, I did a back workout, and I was doing weight that I haven't done since my 20s. And I usually ride my bike to the gym. It's about a 10, 12-minute bike ride. And then on the way back, after I've done my weight training, you know, I ride back, but I'm huffing and puffing. And I rode my bike there and back, and I had so much energy. I'm telling you, the combination of the nitric oxide with the MyoHealth is just amazing. I can't believe how much strength I have right now. I mean, I'm just really excited about it.
Trivita wants you to experience wellness too. Do something good for your heart and cardiovascular system. Learn how to get 25% off Nitric Oxide Plus. Call 800-811-9628 or go to Trivita.com. Use promo code BROWN25 in the shopping cart to receive 25% off your first order, and Trivita will give a substantial portion of your order to help support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 800-811-9628.
or go to Trivita.com. Use promo code BROWN25 in the shopping cart. Get 25% off nitric oxide plus. Call 800-811-9628. 800-811-9628.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Hey, big announcement for you. With the help of our sponsor, Trivita, and with the help of you, our supporters, we are launching on a new station a week from today, so March 20th. We launch in Phoenix on a great station that can reach up to 5 million people. The first step as we go forward to blanket the nation with The Line of Fire. God's given us the mandate to do it. With your prayer, your support, your help, we're able to do it. And remember, if you haven't placed your order yet with Trivita, 800-811-9628. 800-811-9628. Say that Dr. Brown sent you. Be sure to do that. Not only do you get a 25% discount on the order, but 100% of your first order and more than a tithe of all subsequent orders will help us continue to spread this message around the nation. So if you're cheering us on, if you said, Dr. Brown, we're with you, we believe in you, here's a great way to bless yourself with these great supplements and to help us get the message out around the nation. Okay. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. I'll be getting your calls in a little while. Okay, so Germany says you've got a transgender individual, we've got non-binary people that don't quite fit in the category, so if a man can go swimming topless, then a woman can go swimming topless because a man with female breasts can go swimming topless. I mean, this is some of the madness that we're now dealing with in society. I suggested in my article that perhaps the people in Germany could learn from what happened in Sweden. So this was reported back in 2018, all right? So this is a few years ago that this happened. Sweden, voyeurs flocked to newly gender-neutral swimming pool to stare at naked women. Mm-hmm. So here's the article. A program at a Swedish open-air swimming bath in Malmo that eliminated gender-separate areas to encourage transgender bathers has resulted in men taking the opportunity to stare at naked women. So while, quote, very few transgender people were making use of the program, men and boys used it as an excuse to enter women's showers, changing rooms, and toilets. What a ridiculous, horrific, and abusive situation. What an unfair situation to the women that are going there to swim. What an absolutely absurd thing. You say, well, what about transgender individuals? Listen, if I do something volitionally to myself that now puts me in a category that makes others uncomfortable, that's on me. It's not now up to them to change everything. In other words, let's just say that I decided to get tattoos all over my face, right? And they were filled with profanity. And now I want to get a job as a receptionist at your dental office. And you say, sorry, that's inappropriate. Well, I can't claim it's discrimination or anything. I've done that to myself. If I truly believe that I am a man trapped in a woman's body, and initially, I just want to start dressing as a woman to see how it feels and wearing a wig. I don't even want to shave my mustache at this point. I just want to kind of see how it feels. And I go to a school, and say a Christian school, and I understand it's a preschool. They're hiring teachers, and they say, no, I'm sorry. We can't hire you because that would be confusing to the children, also contrary to our own Christian ethic about being at home in the body in which you were created and not blurring gender distinctions. I can't call that discrimination or hate or transphobia. I've put that on myself by a choice that I made. Let's just say I suffered from what's known as body identity integrity order, another deeply tormenting thing that people go through, just like those who struggle with gender dysphoria can be deeply tormenting to them. So let's just say that I chose to to cut off a limb. I mean, these things actually happen in all kinds of horrific ways. You know, one guy froze his leg until it finally had to be amputated, and he was thrilled. He says, the best thing he ever did. He felt whole after doing that. Well, I now can't play sports with one limb, right? I've imposed that on myself. So if someone is now identifying differently, and now here is someone that has female breasts and wants to walk around as a man, topless, no, sorry, you can't do that because you've made that change and it now puts you in another category. All right, so how about this? Woman of the Year, Glamour magazine gave that award to Bruce Jenner years ago, Caitlyn Jenner. You think, what an insult to other women. The Woman of the Year is a biological male. And then Richard, quote, Rachel Levine in the Biden administration was given a Woman of the Year award for USA Today and was hailed as the first 4-star female admiral. No, this is a man who had a career in the Navy and now is recognized as a 4-star admiral who now identifies as a woman. That's not an achievement for a woman. Let's not degrade women by saying the first woman ever to do it is a man. But yet again, here's what happens. Let me give you this report. Headline declares this: Jill Biden gives International Women of Courage Award to transgender official. Yep. So here's what happens. Let me read that story to you. What happened to my screen here? How did I lose my story? All right, I'll get it back. There we go. So Jill Biden presents an International Women of Courage Award to a biological male who identifies as a female. Sarah Huckabee Sanders tweeted, "It's International Women's Day, good time to remember that Democrats can't even tell you what a woman is." Look, there are things that deserve scorn. And this is one of them, to say, wait, please wake up to reality. We've gone completely mad. Please wake up to reality. I expressed it saying this: it really seems as if the ongoing trend to honor trans-identified biological males for being the first ever woman to achieve something or the best woman in a category is the latest form of misogyny. Men make better women than women do. Now, this individual that received the reward, the award, may be a courageous individual, but this is a biological male not to be granted an award as a courageous female. The good news is that more and more people are saying, this is crazy. We didn't sign up for this. We didn't sign up for this radical shift in society. We've been shouting about it for almost 20 years because we saw where the trajectory is going. The good news is people are waking up. The good news is states are passing laws that are pushing back against these very things. And at the same time, many Christians are realizing these are real areas of struggle and we need to be more compassionate and more long-suffering. We need to reach out more. We need to communicate more. We need to help people more. So for sure, we need, as we've said for years, hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. Hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. So that's what we want to cultivate. And you, our listeners, that's what we want to produce in the society. Let's reach out to people who are struggling with compassion, grace, mercy. Let us stand against cultural madness with absolute certainty and absolute conviction. If we don't stand for what's right, if we don't convey what's right, if we don't shine like lights in the world, if we are not the moral conscience of the society, how is the world going to get things right? And what happens to kids who are immersed in this from preschool on, or maybe even from parents thinking it's a good thing to enlighten their kids early on and having like gay BC reading books and things like that? And then from cartoons on, through everything they're getting exposed to in social media and from peers and in the educational system, it is a massive bombardment. The answer is revival in the church, leading to awakening in society. In fact, I want to share with you in a moment, our next break, we'll do that very thing. Let me encourage you that God is at work. God is at work. Hearts are being stirred. We are in the early seasons of a fresh revival movement. I'd love to get these resources into your hands on revival, stirring your heart to believe God for something like we've never seen in American history. The time is now. The hour is now. God's moving. Let him move in you. Let him move in me. We'll be right back. Hey, friends, Michael Brown here. You know, it seems the whole country now is talking about revival. Could it be that a fresh wave of revival is here? Friends, I've said for decades, without a fresh wave of revival in the church and awakening in society, it's over for America as we know it. And that's why I wrote the book, Revival or We Die. A Great Awakening is Our Only Hope. Friends, when you read this book, it won't just give you a vision of what revival can do in society, in the church, but in your own heart, in your own life. It'll light a fresh fire in you. It'll ignite something in you, a hunger, a desire, a vision of what God can do through a yielded life. Revival or We Die. I even have a whole chapter where I share intimate, open prayers I've prayed to God, even in recent years, to ignite afresh a first love in me. I believe as you read it, something will be ignited within you as well. But you know, whenever revival comes, there's controversy. And that's why I wrote the Revival Answer book. I wrote it in the midst of the Brownsboro Revival, answering the many honest questions. Is there too much emotion? What about shaking? What about falling? What about unusual things that happen in revival? And can we really expect revival in the last days, or will things only get worse? When you order this hardcover edition of Revival or We Die, I want to give you this book, the Revival Answer book, 300-page book. I want to give it to you absolutely free. So here's the number to call. 1-800-538-5275. That's 1-800-538-5275. Or go to AskDrBrown.org. Just click on shop. And when you do, you'll see the special offer, the hardcover edition of Revival or We Die. A Great Awakening is Our Only Hope, along with the Revival Answer Book is our free gift to you when you order. One more time, the number to call, 1-800-538-5275. The time for revival is now.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dear friends, let us know as you read these revival books if they're ministering to you. I really believe your heart will be stirred. I believe your faith will rise. I believe your vision will rise. I believe you'll see, it's not too late. God's done radical things in the past. God's shaken things up in the past. God's changed things in the past. Why not now? Why not now? If you've seen the Jesus Revolution movie, which I haven't yet, but still hope to soon, I may just have to wait till it live streams. But if you've seen the Jesus Revolution movie, then you know at times when it seems dark, when it seems impossible, when it seems hopeless, that's often when God moves the most powerfully. Why not now? Great revivals in the past have come. The prayer revival that swept America 1857, 1858. James Edmund Orr said in the years leading up to that, atheism was on the rise. Sexual immorality was on the rise. Witchcraft was on the rise. Yeah, all this was happening. And then revival came. Revival comes in times of crisis. Revival comes in times of darkness. Revival comes when there is no other solution. Revival is not one option among several. We could have a new church program. We could implement this new strategy or have revival. No, revival comes because that's the only hope. Hence the title of the book, Revival or We Die. So grab hold of that book and then you get absolutely free the Revival Answer Book, which you'll find super eye-opening and really interesting. 800-538-5275 to order. Or again, you can go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, and just click on shop. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to take some calls and then get back to a couple of more examples of the world losing its mind to underscore the fact that it really is revival or we die. God is moving, but we've got to understand the urgency of the hour. I don't talk about these things to mock those who struggle, God forbid. I don't talk about this to denigrate people who've had sex change surgery or on hormones or to stop the onset of puberty. My heart goes out to such individuals. Jesus died for you the same as he died for me. We're all created in the image of God and all in need of his mercy and redemption. I say these things because there is a social aspect to it, because there is an aspect in terms of how it affects our society, how it affects this next generation. And it's critical that we address these things. And these are issues in families and churches. It's just the reality. It's the world in which we live. All right, let us go to Michael in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Well, I got a little bit of a question. I saw an interview with you and Harry Rabbi Rosenberg, I believe his name was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some years back we did it when I was in Israel. Yes, first time I met him. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And I heard you mention or reference the tribe, the Igbo tribe, I believe it was, mm-hmm. as being a lost tribe of Israel.
Yeah, potentially. In other words, Harry Rosenberg, I think his first name was Harry, he's looking at potential Israelites in lots of different places. And, you know, even, you know, the Pashtun people in Afghanistan, some of whom became Taliban, you know, I mean, it's kind of wild to even countenance that based on rights, you know, traditions they have going back. In other words, that as the 10 tribes were scattered around the world, that they then intermingled with others and then maybe ultimately converted to Islam or went this way or that way. But they preserve certain traditions showing their ancestry. They still circumcised on the eighth day or followed rabbinic kosher or did other things like that. So yeah, the Igbo people in Africa, that's one that's commonly pointed to because of certain traditions that they have that would potentially tie them back to a lost tribe of Israel. The black Hebrew Israelites or the Hebrew Israelites that use this chart that tries to connect all these people, that's completely bogus. There's zero evidence for that. I'll be having a major debate on that, God willing, a week from Thursday, so March 23rd. But for sure, there are African Jews or African Israelites, some of whom apparently came over during slave trade as well. There's one estimate that says there are as many as 200,000 African Americans actually of Israelite heritage or Jewish heritage in America today. But for sure, you have these different groups. The Lemba tribe, the Falashas in Ethiopia definitely have an ancient Israelite connection.
Okay, so they were pretty much converts.
Yes and no. Let me explain. In other words, let's say among the Lemba, right? The Lemba are very strict in terms of the men must maintain their pedigree, so they will not have a man coming from the outside, but they could marry a woman who converts and becomes part of them. So let's just say that as the Jewish people scatter around the world, like, okay, I'm white-skinned, I'm Jewish, but the original Israelites weren't white-skinned, right? So where did the white skin come from? So let's say Jewish men, Israelite men move into a new area, right? And now some of the women convert to Judaism and intermarry. Well, as this happens over a long enough period of time with enough native people intermarrying, you're going to have Jews who look like Indians, Jews who look like Chinese, Jews who look like Africans, Jews who look like Caucasians. So there's conversion into and then intermarriage because of that. So and then when it happens long enough, you're going to look like the people where you live.
Okay. That makes more sense to me now.
Yeah. So in other words, there's some literal Jewish blood that can be traced back. You can trace it back by DNA, right? I can trace back by DNA back to the Middle East. Lemba Jews can trace back by DNA back to the Middle East. So this is there is that actual descent with people marrying in, converting, and then marrying in. Yeah, that's how it works itself out.
Okay. Perfect. I greatly appreciate you answering that question. And this is your perspective on the Igbo tribe, or is this a lot of what Mr.
No, I think it's pretty widely recognized that there's some Israelite connection with the Igbo people. Exactly how far it goes, that's what's debated. But there does seem to be a genuine connection there. Once you get online and start searching, you'll find every imaginable kind of article and claim. Okay. So you got to sift it through. But no, this is not like an obscure way out claim. Otherwise, I wouldn't be entertaining it. There seems to be a lot of evidence behind it.
Okay. Okay. And another question: is there any sources that you can give me so I can read more about that? Because I'm Baptist Christian. I've never heard this before, and I'm starting to hear it a little bit now.
So,
what's going on?
Here's a good place to go. There is a rabbi and professor, Harry Abramson, Abramson. Harry Abramson. He's got a lot of he's written books. He's a highly regarded professor, but he's got some really easy to follow YouTube videos where he gets in depth, but gives you a lot of good background. So if you type in Harry Abramson, African Jews, that'll be a good place to start. Okay.
Okay, Harry Abramson.
Abramson, 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 Harry Abramson, African Jews.
All right. Thank you so much.
You are very, very welcome. Sure thing. All right. So let me just explain something. There's no doubt that there are African Jews or Israelites, and that there are Hispanic Jews / Israelites. There's no question about that. And that's I have no desire to argue against that. All right. So when I have my debate, God willing, a week from Thursday, so March 23rd, with Al-Azhar from the Sicari, the debate on the one hand will be to debunk the 12-tribe chart, which is a modern invention, and which relies on convoluted interpretations of Scripture and random select historical references, or wherever you want to pull out, to try to make the thing work. You could use the same arguments to make anybody the Lost Tribes of Israel. And of course, there is no way that the Hebrew Israelites that hold to this, now many don't, they reject the chart, but those who hold to it, there's no actual factual way you can connect that this group to this tribe, zero. And you claim to do it based on Torah interpretation, that's easily demolished. God willing, we'll demonstrate that when we do the debate. You have to remember, though, that people also have extensive folklore and traditions that have been preserved. So among the Ethiopian Jews that had lived as Jews for centuries and followed certain customs, they didn't follow later rabbinic customs because they go back before that, all right? That would be my best understanding. So you have things that have been practiced over the centuries. You have traditions that have been passed down. And then with that, if you can add in DNA testing or other things like that, or the historical records, it's not just that people just pop up out of the blue. So, for example, Iraqi Jews, almost no one there now, but they were there for 2,500 years continuously since the Babylonian exile. There was community there in Babylon, which then ultimately today would be much of Iraq, and they lived there through the centuries. The creators of the Babylonian Talmud hundreds of years after that. But they went into exile. They never came out of exile. So you've got all the history and all the tradition and generations after generations after generations after generations, it's preserved. It's not like there's somebody appears somewhere and says, we're the real Jews or we're the real Israelites. So you have this background. Often you'll have linguistic background, not a word that sounds like this. You can make anything sound like anything. But excellent connections that can be looked at one after another after another after another. And that's how you make evidence. If you want to impress the ignorant, you pull together all kinds of these little things and say, wow, look at what we proved. But, the old adage, 0 + 0 + 0 = 0. So once you deflate those balloons and show they're empty, then you say, okay, let's really see how we can trace these things back. What are the best ways that we can trace them back? Let's go to our buddy Jeff in Maryland. Welcome back to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike, or Dr. Brown.
Hey, man.
I wanted to say something to you that I don't think I have ever said. So happy birthday, Mike, and happy anniversary.
Oh, awesome, man. Yeah.
Hello.
I will do it. Yeah, Tuesday, 47 years, and Thursday, 68 years. Yeah, sweet.
Amen. All right. I know you've got other people to get to, but I will put this out there. I would encourage people to absolutely listen to you when you're talking about revival. Just disregard what the distractors are saying. I don't care how deep the theological pedigree of a person is that's saying we're not into anything that God is doing. That is absolutely false, because
Stay right there. Stay right there. We'll be right back. We had a shift in our clock a few days back, because of which every so often I don't time a call properly. We'll be right back.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with: Nopalea. Made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
So call now, 800-811-9628, or go to Trivita.com. Use the promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your first order. And Trivita will give a substantial portion of your order to help support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Or call 800-811-9628. Let's hear what customers are saying.
A couple of months ago, I discovered Nopalea, and I started taking it every day like they suggested, and I started to have more movement and not feel the same stiffness. It keeps me going. I don't have to take days off anymore. I don't have to wear the brace around my back. I love Nopalea because I can go out and run with a girl that's half my age and still stay stride for stride with her, and my joints and my knees aren't bothering. It's fantastic.
Call now, 800-811-9628. Or go to Trivita.com. Use the promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your first order. Or call 800-811-9628. That's 800-811-9628.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. All right, let's get back to our friend Jeff. Yes, you were saying about revival to focus on what God's doing and not listen to the detractors or those that are speaking against revival. So go ahead, back to you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone is welcome to listen to whoever they want, but there are people that don't know what they are talking about, as opposed to being able to discern, like Jesus said, the folks that did not recognize him in the day that he came, it's because they could not understand or recognize the day of the visitation of the Lord.
Yeah.
But there are people, if you read through the book of Luke, you would see where there was this constant mention of the Lord visiting, the Lord has visited us. But then Jesus said, well, there was more that I could have done, but you didn't recognize the day of your visitation. And we don't want to be that people. So
yeah.
Recognize what the Lord is doing, because it is an outstanding work that is happening without big names or other folks like that coming behind it. It is something that God is doing literally, like, from the grassroots up.
Yeah, something, right, absolutely. And I'm a witness to it. I hear constantly from pastors and leaders in different parts of America in terms of what's happening and a fresh outpouring and people turning to God in repentance. And Jeff, I was watching a pastor the other day. It was just a clip. I don't want to mention his name because I don't want to dishonor, disrespect. But he was talking about what happened at Asbury was not spontaneous. Rather, it was planned in conjunction with a day of prayer that was coming up. And I thought, how sad that he would think that. First, you can't plan it. You can't orchestrate it. You can't make these things happen. You can't say, oh, God is moving, and suddenly 50,000 people converge on a town of 6,000. We know how to hype things and advertise them in America, and sometimes you can't even fill a small building with all your hype because nothing's happening. And when it's so low-key and there are no well-known people involved, and outwardly it's nothing exciting, you don't get people flocking coming. And even the meeting itself, that's not how you plan it. That's not how you launch the thing. I mean, just a nondescript chapel service, nondescript singing, nondescript message, a few people staying behind, someone confessing sin, and next thing the thing bursts. So it's very sad that people would believe these things and not recognize what God is doing. Hey, blessings to Adrian and the family. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, let me just finish out the article that I was sharing with you. How about this court ruling? Just talking about the insanity of the world. And another reason why we must have revival in the church that gets the church living right, acting right, which then spreads to evangelism in the world and then conversions and awakening and opening of eyes. That's the only way America is going to be changed. Yes, politics is important. Other things are important. But they're way, 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 way down in importance compared to a sweeping revival that will change the church and change the culture. Revival leading to an awakening. That's why the subtitle of Revival or We Die is A Great Awakening is Our Only Hope. So here's a report on National Review. And this is Ari Bloff reporting. This is a few days back, but I just put it together in one article. USA Powerlifting must allow male athletes to compete against females, Minnesota court rules. Yep. So, as the article states, a Minnesota state court has ruled that USA Powerlifting must permit transgender athletes to compete. Transgender powerlifter J.C. Cooper, a man who identifies as female, sued in state court in 2021 after USA Powerlifting sex segregation policy barred him from competing against women. The court found that the organization's policy violated state anti-discrimination law. Indeed, the district court's ruling compels USA Powerlifting to, quote, cease and desist from all unfair discriminatory practices and permits the body 2 weeks to comply. The order paves the way for individuals to compete in divisions based on their gender identity, not biological sex. So you can be a man, 6'4", and 250 pounds or 290 pounds in a heavyweight weightlifting division. Let's say there's no limit in terms of upward weight. Sure, you've got to, you know, have your testosterone levels reduced, but you are still biologically stronger, bigger bone structure, everything, than a woman. And that's why you'll have someone that was not the top level male weightlifter now smashing records as a female weightlifter. How unfair is that? And yet the ruling is in the name of being fair. Again, this is cultural madness, but friends, it undoes itself. It can only go so far before people say enough is enough. Or do we need more headlines like this one from last year? I was sexually assaulted by a transgender rapist in a woman's jail. Female prisoner, 45, describes ordeal at the hands of sex predator, 56, who molested four inmates during 3 month reign of terror. So a man who goes by the name of Karen White, biological male who identifies as a female, was sent to the women's jail despite having neither surgery nor hormone treatment. So this is a full-fledged biological male who now says I'm a female, sent to a female prison, and according to these reports, sexually abuses, rapes these other women because he's a man. All have to be fair to the women in the prison. And if this person needs to have their own cell in their own bathroom because they don't fit somewhere, then whatever can be done to help accommodate, or otherwise they have to just suffer identifying as a woman and being in a prison with other biological males. But to put a biological male, not even on hormone treatments, let alone sex change surgery, in a prison cell with biological females, and to do it in the name of fairness, and courts have ruled on these things and made them happen. It is absolute insanity. So the bad news is the world really is losing its mind. The good news is that people are saying this is crazy and standing up to do something about it. May God's grace prevail. May truth prevail. May sanity prevail. That's why we're here, friends, as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. And by all means, let us continue to press in for revival to spread across America, to awaken the sleeping church, to result in a massive harvest of souls, and to bring an awakening to the society. All right, let's go to Joseph in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi there, Dr. Michael Brown. I do believe this is not a coincidence, and God's timing is perfect. So my question today is regarding a video that was just released today by Rabbi Kurt Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing a that he wants just all the Christians everywhere to join him in to take back the rainbow. And he basically wants everyone to wear a shirt that declares in Scripture on the shirt and the rainbow that this is God's. And he wants to do it on July and call it Jesus Pride Month, where he would basically just everyone would wear this shirt declaring that the rainbow belongs to God and take back the rainbow because of all the, like you mentioned, insanity that's happening with all kinds of stuff in our world right now, especially with the LGBTQ. I just want to know what your thoughts would be on that.
Yeah, so the idea of Take Back the Rainbow, that's been one that many Christian leaders have shared over the years because the rainbow became associated with gay activism, whereas the rainbow is established by God, and the scriptural reason going back all the way back to the flood in Genesis, the ninth chapter, et cetera. So the rainbow colors are God's colors and so on. So in that sense, same with music, as William Booth said, God owns every note, So music ultimately belongs to God. It can be twisted and used in different ways. So as always, I think the thing that's so important is this tension that we walk in. And the way the Lord spoke it to me almost 20 years ago was reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. And that's the thing that we're always seeking to balance. We've got coming up April 14th, which is our annual Not Ashamed of Jesus Day. We'll be talking a lot more about it in the next few weeks leading up to it. A day that we're encouraging everyone to wear something outwardly as we started last year saying, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm not ashamed and I'm here to serve you. How can I be of help as a follower of Jesus? And to get that message out in the schools, in the places of business, wherever we live, and to proclaim it for the glory of God. So obviously, Messianic Rabbi Kurt Schneider has this same kind of idea and saying, hey, here's Jesus Pride Month. You've got gay pride. You've got this pride, Jesus Pride Month. So 24/7, not just April 14th, not just one month, we should obviously always be living as open witnesses. So here's what we have to balance out. On the one hand, we have to recognize that when we speak, as I did today, about transgender activism and about crazy rulings in the courts and different things like that, when we do that, it will drive people away. It will make people think that we're hateful, we're bigoted, we're homophobic, we're transphobic. Many young people react against it, feeling it's an assault on their friends and family and things like that. And those in the gay and lesbian community will often hear that you hate us, your God hates us, we want nothing to do with you. We must be aware that that is how many will perceive it and do whatever we can on a personal level and through our public message to say, we love everyone just the same. Whether you're a same-sex couple, a heterosexual couple, an individual, trans-identified, whoever you are, Jesus died for you. Every one of us created in the image of God. Every one of us of eternal value. We are all in sin, all in need of redemption. Unless we go the way of the cross, we are all lost. So we want to proclaim our love for everyone, including all those who identify as LGBTQ, anywhere else on the spectrum, while at the same time staying God's ways are best. And we stand against an agenda that we see as destructive. May God give wisdom to each as we step into this.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.